Well, please look in your Bibles at Psalm 71. Labor Day weekend. Today is Sunday, September the 6th, 2026. We're going to get to Psalm 71 in just a minute or two. You may have noticed that up here in this teaching area, we have two olive trees. They're not real, of course, but Missy found those, and we've had them for a couple of weeks, I think. You've probably noticed them. And I'm very blessed to have them there. I think you probably know there's great significance in the Bible concerning the olive tree, and especially the olive oil. Significant in the Bible because of food from the olive tree. Also light. They used olive oil to fuel their lamps that they had. Healing, definitely. I think even in the record of the Good Samaritan, he poured oil into the wounds, and I know shepherds in Bible times carry olive oil with them. Also anointing. Priests were anointed with olive oil, so were kings. And olive oil was also in some of the offerings that they brought to the temple. So it has a lot of great biblical significance. It's also related to or recognized with peace. Noah sent the dove out of the ark, and it came back with an olive leaf. So it has that significance or related to peace. If you're curious about that, I actually printed up some stuff all about the olive tree. It's evergreen, so it stays green year-round. And so a lot of interesting facts about it, and then how it relates to things in the Bible. Well, I guess another thing you could say about it, it relates to the economy. Remember the woman that didn't have anything except, I got some oil in the house. Fine. And she got enough oil miraculously to pay all her debts, and her sons lived off of the rest. So there's a verse in Psalm 52 that says, "But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever." I am like an olive tree. That's a simile. It's a figure of speech, but God doesn't use words haphazardly. That's a better verse to remember. I'm like an olive tree rather than the one that we heard in the class. I have become like a bottle in the smoke. That was not a very pleasant one. So there's a couple of other trees that we're going to run into in this morning's teaching. I mentioned last week that we are all getting older, but we are also getting closer to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think I mentioned last week, everybody's getting older. Doesn't matter how old you are. If you're 20 years old, you're getting older. That's just the way it is. And I thought this morning, let's look and see some of the things that God's Word says about getting older. And I think it'll be encouraging to us. Hopefully it will be. So we're going to start in Psalm 71. And we're going to start in verse 8. Psalm 71, 8. "Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day," every day, long as I live. Let me praise God. And in this prayer of David, verse 9, "Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth." Don't forget about me, God, when I get old. "For mine enemies, they speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together." David had a lot of enemies. And his enemies were saying, "God has forsaken him. Persecute, take him, for there is none to deliver him. Oh God, be not far from me. Oh my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually," every day, my whole life, "I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness. I'll talk about how wonderful and good and righteous God is. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. No one knows. So we just keep loving, praising God our whole lives, because we know not the number of days we have. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Verse 18, now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. God, don't forget me, don't forsake me, and he won't. God's word says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's a really, it's a wonderful psalm, and I would encourage you to read the whole psalm. We're going to go to Psalm 37 now. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, and some of these you may remember or know. Psalm 37, verse 25 says, I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Are you righteous? Not from works that we do. See, we live in a different administration, and according to what Romans says about born-again ones, we have been made righteous when we got born again. There is therefore now no condemnation, no guilty verdict. We are righteous. Well, good. I like that. And no matter how old we get, we can still believe God's word and trust his promises. Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Some people may forget about the old folks, but God doesn't. Never. Psalm 91, verse 14. Because he hath set his love upon me, because God, this is God saying, because he or she, because they've set their love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I'll set him on high because he hath known my name. So because he set his love upon me, because he knows my name, and knows my name, you know, that's knowing who God is, what he can do, what he's promised. He shall call upon me and I'll answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And this is true no matter how old we are. Why? It says, because he hath set his love upon me. Because we've set our love upon God. Because we love God. Because we know his name. We know who he is, what he will do. And he said, because of that, he'll answer and deliver and honor us. All because we've set our love upon him and know his name. It reminds me of in the Gospels at the Last Supper. Jesus Christ was speaking about prayer, and he said, don't pray to me. He said, pray to the Father in my name. And then he said, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and believed that I came out from God. Not because you're so great, not because you never make a mistake, not because you never have an evil thought. The Father himself loves you because you've loved me and believed that I came out from him. That's what this reminds me of here, because he set his love upon me, because he hath known my name. Such goodness, such grace, and such mercy from our wonderful, loving God. No matter how old you are, doesn't matter. Psalm 92, we're close by, right? Psalm 92, verse 12. The righteous, 92:12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. So here's those other two trees. I told you we were going to run into two trees, figuratively. And speaking of figuratively, God does not use words in his word haphazardly. he specifically mentioned the palm tree and the cedar in Lebanon. So speaking of the palm tree in biblical times, this would be the date palm. And I read where it was once very abundant in that part of the land, especially around Jericho in the Jordan Valley. Jericho was called at one time the city of palm trees. I looked and what I could find is we have some of these date palms in Arizona. They're not abundant. They're in certain places. And what I read was they were introduced into our country in the 1900s, but because of their root system, they have incredible stability against storms and against droughts. Palm trees survive great storms because they bend and don't break. They take years to reach full maturity, and they can remain productive for a very, very long time. They represent prosperity, a settled life, and blessings. And it says in this verse, the righteous shall flourish. Are we righteous? Yes. This is what God would like for us, to flourish like a palm tree. We've all encountered storms in our lives, some more than others. And yet, we still stand and believe God's word and stay put. The palm tree represents a tree able to withstand harsh conditions while continuing to grow upward and bear fruit. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Isn't it interesting? God put both these trees right there together. The cedar of Lebanon, it's also a slow-growing tree, allowing it to become long-lasting, durable, and majestic. It represents strength and stability. Living a long, full life, we can be strong in the tests that we endure because we trust our God and His promises. And these verses contain both of these trees deliberately. God doesn't use words haphazardly. The righteous are pictured as having the fruitfulness and the cedar's strength, not merely surviving, but remaining green, useful, faithful, and fruitful through the years. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. I think we heard that this morning. And there is no unrighteousness in him. It says they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Age does not eliminate a person's usefulness. Those that are rooted or planted in God's word can continue bearing spiritual fruit. Those who are born again and manifest God's Spirit can produce the fruit of the Spirit that we read about in Galatians, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, spiritual fruit. And then it says, to show that the Lord is upright, the flourishing life of the righteous demonstrates God's faithfulness and integrity. People see us. People see us blessed. People see us flourishing. People see us happy, positive, enjoying the life that God's given us. And sometimes we stand out because lots of folks today are pretty negative and worried about every little thing and every big thing. But people, so somebody said one time, people will read us before they read the book. So I like that, verse 15, to show that the Lord is upright. He's my rock. And there's no unrighteousness in him. Psalm 103, not too far away. Psalm 103. And we're going to look at verse 5. Who satisfies thy mouth? We're in 103:5. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And that's an Orientalism, knowing some of the culture of the eagles back then. In the book I wrote, what does it mean? I think there's a chapter there on the eagles, renewed like the eagles. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. Now, you probably know Proverbs is written to young people. So even though, let's see what it says in chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Proverbs chapter 3. And I think you know when you see the word law, commandments, statutes, testimonies, it's all referring back to God's word. My son, don't forget my word. Let thine heart keep my commandments or my word. Why? Verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. God's word, by keeping God's word. That's the benefit. That's the blessing of doing that. When God has us do things as we read in His Word, it's for our blessing, not to keep us busy and out of trouble. It's like in Ephesians 6, where it says, honor thy father and mother. And then it says, which is the first commandment with promise. And the result of honor thy father and mother is that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. That's the benefit. So it'd be well with you. So what a great benefit here. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. So it doesn't matter how old you are, it still can produce that for us. In Proverbs chapter 20, Proverbs 20. 20. Proverbs 20, 29. The glory of young men is their strength. That's right, man. Look at my guns, man. I can lift this. I can do that. The glory of young men is their strength. And the beauty of old men or old women is their gray head. What a great verse that is. And beauty is a word that can mean like an ornament, a decoration. Isn't that beautiful? The glory of young men is their strength, but the beauty, the ornament, the decoration of old folks is their gray head. How you like that? I like that one. It just shows their honor. Isaiah 46. Isaiah chapter 46. We looked at this verse last week, but I thought we'll just look at it again. Isaiah 46. Right before Jeremiah, if yet Jeremiah went too far. Right after Song of Solomon there. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 4. And even to your old age, I am He. God doesn't change. And even to your hoar hairs, that's gray hairs, will I carry you. I'll carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and deliver you. God's not going to forsake us, even in our old age. He's there with us. What a promise. We can absolutely put our trust in our God no matter how old we get, even when our hair is gray, or even when our hair is gone. One more in Isaiah, back up to chapter 40, if you would. Isaiah 40 and verse 29. Isaiah 40, 29. He, God, gives power to the faint. So when we're at a place in our life where we're fainting, whether it's mentally or whatever, it's God that will give us power. He gives power to the faint. To them that have no might, He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, no matter how old you are, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint, no matter how old. So those are some verses that God talks about people, some great blessings, no matter how old we are. But I'd like to go to Titus now, chapter 2. And God gives a little instruction to those of us that are older. Titus chapter 2. Oh, weren't those wonderful verses? Just kind of make you feel good. Yeah, God knows me. I'm getting older, but hey, God's still around. God will take care of me. He'll carry me. He'll watch over me. He'll bless me so I can flourish like the date palm and the cedar of Lebanon. Titus chapter 2, verse 2, that the aged men may be sober. And that's more than just not drunk. It's having sound thoughts. That the aged men may be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith or believing, sound in the love of God, in patience. So that's what older guys are supposed to do. So we don't forsake one for the other. We might be sober, grave, and temperate and lost the love of God. No, we continue with all those. How about the ladies? The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, don't go around. Not given to much wine. Teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, have sound thinking. Teach the young women to love their husbands. Teach the young women to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So a little exhortation to those that are older. And sometimes I think about how people that get to a certain age, whatever age you want to put it on, older people, I don't know where you draw the line. Okay, yesterday I wasn't an old person, today I don't know where you draw the line on that. But people that love God and have lived a good long life have so much wisdom that could be imparted to young people if they just have ears to listen, you know, sit down and listen. So, you know, we get to a certain age, we're ready to share. If somebody's got a question, we're ready to give some good, godly, sound advice. Sometimes it's available, sometimes it's not, but that's okay. We're ready. We're going to close in Colossians chapter 4. So back up a little bit to Colossians chapter 4. How encouraging it is to consider that Sarah gave birth to Isaac when she was 90 and Abraham was 100. Moses was 80 when he got the call to go deliver God's people out of Egypt. Joshua was 80 when he took over Moses' job. Daniel was still standing for the one true God in captivity when he was 80 years old when they sent him into the lion's den. He was 80, right around 80. If you do the math with all the different regime changes and all that, some were 78, 79, 80, 81, 82. He was an older man that they threw into the den of lions and still a rock, not budging. How about Simeon? He was an older man. He lived until he got to see and hold the promised Messiah there in the temple, along with Anna, who was 84. In the pages of the Bible, we can read many encouraging verses, like some that we read concerning getting older, as well as seeing some very inspiring people who were getting older. So no matter how old you are, we can still put our trust in God and believe God day by day. Even if we get to 105, still put our trust in. Is he going to forsake us? No. Will he still carry us? Yep, he promised. Somebody once said, it's not how long a person lives, but how they live their life. And I wanted to close with Colossians 4, verse 2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. This is addressed to born-again believers, no matter what age you are. young, old, whatever, male, female, God's exhortation is pray. Pray, pray, pray. Continue in prayer. Watch in the same. We're looking for results. And of course, with thanksgiving. Philippians said, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. We go to God in prayer, remembering to say thank you when we're in prayer. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Pray. And then, he said, pray for us that God would open us a door of utterance, that he could speak it. And he talks about walking in wisdom, let your speech be always with grace. And then he talked about Tychicus will tell you what's going on here. And then he's coming with Onesimus. And then Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, salutes you, and Marcus. And then Jesus, who's also called Justice, these are my fellow workers. And then you get to verse 12, and it says, Epaphras, who is one of you. Epaphras, he's one of you. Obviously, the folks in Colossae knew who this guy Epaphras was. Epaphras, who's one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you. So in this epistle to Colossae, he said, hey, Epaphras, you know Epaphras. He wants to say hi to you guys. And Epaphras is noted as a servant of Christ. Salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That you may stand perfect or mature and complete in all the will of God. A few verses before, God's word to the born-again believers was pray. Continue in pray. Pray, pray, pray. Always pray. And now he talks about Epaphras, who is laboring fervently for you in prayers. Somebody that you know. And I think you know in James 5, it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So I thought it was interesting that he brought up Epaphras, who is always laboring fervently for you in prayers. So no matter how old we get, we can still trust God and believe his word. And no matter how old we get, no matter what limitations we may have as we get older, we can always pray for people. We can always pray. We can pray till we take our last breath. And if that's all a person can do, praise the Lord, that would come under the category of a servant of Christ. Epaphras, one of you, a servant of Christ, always laboring fervently for you in prayer. So until Christ comes back, we're all going to get older. And nothing you can do about it. It's just the way it is. But God hasn't changed. His promises haven't changed. He will take care of us as we just put our trust in him. And we could believe his promises as we get older, and we can follow the example of a servant of Christ, Epaphras, laboring fervently in prayer, knowing that God said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person, and we're righteous, avails much. So let's be those date palms and cedars of Lebanon. Father, thank you for your great love for us and how as we look into your word, it's so evident and obvious how much you love us, how much you care for us, and Father, how much you want us to be blessed in our lives so that we can show forth your great goodness, your love, your power. Thanks for all that our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has accomplished for us that we could be born again, having eternal life, and we so look forward to the day you send him back to come and pick us up. Until then, Father, let us trust your word, and let us also pray much. I pray for all the folks here this morning, those here, those that are on the hookup, and those that might hear this teaching at another time. Please bless them all, and thank you for your love. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.